encourage and to prepare the ground. No, this is follow-up to a church that he knew well. He'd been there for 18 months or so and poured himself into this new fledgling community in this cosmopolitan, metropolitical place of Corinth where people from all around the world were there to trade. So it wasn't just a place where there were Jewish people, it was more Gentile than Jewish, actually. People from all around the known world coming in order to trade. And Paul, the Jew, with the commission to be the one who goes to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles, has landed in that place and over 18 months has called together the people of peace and explained to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles, and has gathered that people together as the body of Christ in that place, probably no more than this number of people, and has then trained them in how to share their faith, how to live as Christians in a foreign, alien culture, where the emphasis is all around economic success and trade, and they are finding themselves excluded from those sources of economic prosperity and things because of their confession of Jesus Christ as Lord rather than Caesar. And yet through that time with them, Paul has taught them and trained them and then left them to be God's people, Christ's body in that place, in order to gather more among their number and to spread the good news that he has taught them and trained them. But it's all gone absolutely horribly wrong. It's a bundle of wool. He'd left them the raw materials, the knitting needles and the ball of wool, and given them the pattern and said, create something beautiful. And they just divided the wool among themselves and used it as a battleground, and it's all twisted and a complete mess. Looks like it's good for the bin. Paul's heard about it through a letter from Corinth to himself, brought by a couple of disciples who probably filled in the gaps. That's the polite version, Paul. Let us tell you what it's really like. And Paul, who longs to go back to them and sort them out, stick them with knitting needles, can only write to them to say, what has happened here? And regardless of what's happened, let's sort this out so that together we might again be conformed to the pattern of the one whom we follow, even Jesus Christ. I'm relieved today that I get the warm-up. In these verses, Paul is reintroducing himself to those people he knew and kind of laying the foundations for those who have joined the church since he was there. They'll have heard about Paul, but this is their first indirect contact with him. So he's laying the ground, reminding them of the foundations. What does the Spirit of God do? Well, there are two things here. The first is, brings us into unity with God. It's there at the beginning, isn't it? To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ and called to be his holy people. Those who were once not a people are now called by Christ himself and made part of his body, his people, through his Holy Spirit. And not just individuals, but people from all over the known world. It'd be lovely if we could just relate to God as ourselves, us and God in a beautiful relationship, unsullied by anyone else. But the reality is, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to everyone else who's been called into relationship with God. And so Paul writes, together with those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. And then at the end, he talks about how this same God, this same Spirit of Jesus Christ, will also keep us firm to the end, so that we might be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, thank goodness, because we are not. But God is faithful. He's the one who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there's this sense then of Paul wanting to remind people that it's not about them and their agendas. It's not about them and their hopes, as well as their fears and sorrows. The church of God is not based on people. It's founded on his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one who calls us. He is the one upon whom we rely for our salvation. It's through him that we are called into God's people and made part of his body through his Holy Spirit. So Paul wants to remind them of the foundation of their faith. Not about them, not about them as individuals even, not about them as a community. No, they're part of something much bigger which goes all around the world from which these different people in the city have come. But it's all about Jesus Christ and being called into the same relationship with God that he has, God as his Father, through his Spirit, through all that he has done. But there's something else that God does as well, which is in the middle of those two things. So in this introductory bit, as Paul reminds the church in Corinth of its foundations, that it's not about them, it's about their life in God, he also reminds them how they're sent as people equipped by God's Holy Spirit to live this life of Christ in those places where they have been set. So he writes in verse 4, I always thank my God because of his grace given you in Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So as well as this sense of Christ through his Spirit calling these early Christians, these young Christians into life in faith, there's also this breathing out of God's Spirit, which means that each member of Christ's body is given gifts and is called to use those gifts to go out into the world, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to work to make this broken world a bit more like God's perfect heaven. So in these nine verses, a calling in as Christ's people, and then a reminder that gifts are given in order that we might be sent out into the world. Gifts given not just for us to enjoy, not just for us to use, to rank ourselves above the person sitting next to us or in front of us or behind us, but gifts given to build up and to strengthen one another, and gifts given to use and bless the world. Most problems in our lives as individuals when it comes to following God, most problems in the lives of church communities arise out of a sense of lack, of missing something, a deficit. If only this were the case. If only we had this. If we were over there or in that situation, everything would be fine. But what Paul is wanting to say is, you have everything you need. The situation may be difficult. There may be political uncertainty around. There may be economic instability around. It may feel like the whole of society is ignoring God and worshipping all kinds of other things. But I'm describing the situation in Corinth, if you're thinking about the situation here in Cheshire in 2022. Some things don't change. It's not quite that history repeats itself, but we are funny in not being able to learn the lessons of history. And much that we contend with, though it's expressed in different ways, does go round and round again. And what Paul is wanting to say is, don't wait till you have what you think you need. Don't wait until the conditions are like you think they should be, because you already have everything you need. You're drawn into relationship with God, the source of your ultimate security, peace, and life. And you're equipped with everything that you need to live as God's people, as individuals and as a community in this place, in your workplaces, in your schools and colleges. Everything that you need. Unity and diversity, and called to live with Christ and his Spirit in love with one another as you reach out to the world. So as you explore this letter of Corinth, have that mesh of wool in mind and see how Paul tries to unpick and straighten out this fledgling church. But don't just read it as a church 2,000 years ago. See how it speaks to you as individuals. And do it with confidence, knowing that you don't lack anything, but that Christ has given all you need, life in him, and a commission, and the gifts, and empowered to live as he calls you to live. Amen.